Hello there! This show contains material which a truly free society would neither fear nor suppress. The language and concepts contained herein will not cause eternal torment in the place where the guy with the horns and pointed stick conducts his business.
Dude.
That's me. That's actually my name.
You had it changed.
It's spelled D00D.
Actually, your name is D-U-D. It's just, there's no E. It's just Dud.
Oh.
That's a real...
My side is splitting. My knee has been slapped.
Oh, that was a real... That was a side splitter, you got to admit.
It was that's a way homer.
I don't even know what that means.
It's one that actually makes you laugh on the way home.
Time joke, as we used to say in junior high.
Joke.
It's like it hits you many hours later.
So what's up?
Oh, not much. Let's see. We were absent for a week.
We were AWOL. Absent without reason. No, that's AWOR.
And you went to the Boukville Antique and Hockey Arena.
That's right. Madison Boukville. I went to go visit the Mills of Wind.
Which were not working.
Yeah, they were all malfunctioning. Sparks flying everywhere.
I guess we should tell them what that is. There's a series of power-generating windmills right around this antique festival where John went last Saturday.
Yeah, every time I drive home from work, I can see them on the horizon, all these giant spinning windmills. They're cool. Very cool.
They're sort of hypnotic to watch, too, when you're close to them.
I'm always driving off the road.
Yeah. I was lucky enough to get like right next to them and actually get to look inside one of them. I took a tour of the... They're on this hilltop in Boukville, near Madison, Boukville.
There's several hilltops, in fact. There's several banks of them. There's not just one. I thought it was just one, but I was driving around Boukville, and as you drive past it, I can't remember the name of the, or the number of the road, there's another set, and then there's, I think, a third set, like a smaller...
Well, they built more then. They must have built more.
They're all over the place there.
Yeah, because there was one set of like seven on this hilltop, which this farmer was leasing to the power company, and they've probably built more since. And up on Tug Hill, north of where we are, I guess there's hundreds. They built hundreds of them up on the what they call the Tug Hill Plateau.
Very windy up there.
So take advantage of it.
Except for if it's too windy, they don't work.
Yeah, that's right. They shut themselves down if they're too windy so they don't tear themselves apart.
Yeah, then they run on gas.
It's the kerosene-powered
that's right.
Windmill.
They've got mice running in those wheels.
Little hamsters in the habit trail.
Right. They run on wheat. What's going on, though?
I don't know. Anything else? Not much going on. You know, I'm still, like, absolutely amazed that the arbitration panel has not released any Floyd Landis findings.
They won't.
They have to eventually.
No, they won't. It'll take a chemist to understand what they release.
Well, and they have chemists to help with these decisions. I mean, both the prosecuting side and the defense side had biochemists, and the people who have to plow through all the evidence have at their disposal experts to talk to and ask questions of. And that probably is why it's taking so long. This is, you know, a lot of science in this one.
It's nicer when there's like a cut and dry case, like finding dog corpses on your property,
which we'll talk about again later. Yeah, you know, I know there was something I wanted to talk about. I just, for the life of me, can't remember what it is right now.
David Hasselhoff was named ambassador to Germany.
That's old news.
Oh, okay.
Jerry Lewis, ambassador to France.
I'm trying to think. Who would make a good ambassador to like, I don't know, Saudi Arabia?
I don't know.
I got to think about that one. So, that's it. We done?
The intro was just a little lackluster.
Yeah, well, because we're saving it. We're going to hit them.
Bam!
We're going to hit them like a sack of bricks.
Bam-a-lam. Yeah, I don't think I had anything for the intro. Just planning a Halloween, potential Halloween costume.
Uh-oh.
If my friend Donna's fundraising Halloween party for her family nurturing center happens this year, but I'm not going to say what the costume is because I don't want them to know, so don't say it.
I'll give you a hint.
Don't give them any hints because any hint would give it away.
Well, I'll put it this way. Halloween is Rich's excuse to be a cross-dresser once a year.
Sometimes, that's true.
Sometimes?
That's true for a lot of
people,
actually.
That's the after party. I knew a guy who used to do that. He used to dress up as a woman on Halloween every year, and I wondered, because he looked like a really nice-looking woman when
well,
he did.
You know, at last year's Halloween party, the fundraiser, Donna's fundraiser, there was this tall, leggy Playboy bunny, like 6'2".
In a bunny costume?
Yeah, in a bunny costume, and I kept looking, going, eh, it's not bad.
I'd hit that, as they say.
Yeah. And it was a guy. It was totally a guy, you know, had just unbelievable the way they masked the bulges you'd want to mask and then adding bulges where you want bulges.
There's a term for that.
Bulgification.
No, debulgification. I think stuffing, I think it's called.
Yeah, everybody, you know, and just so you know, everybody was uncertain. You know, I went up to all my friends and went, is that a guy or a girl? Because it could definitely be a girl.
And you don't want to insult the girl.
No, I didn't talk to him, her, it, but no, it was a guy. And she won, she won best contest, best costume or whatever, you know.
And she didn't understand why, because she was just there as a waitress.
I think she was an actual party attendee, though. He was an actual party attendee, though.
Did you ask Shim?
I did not. But I was not, as I said, there were many people going, I don't know. Anyway.
Everyone was saying, I'd hit that.
That's right, because the guys thought she was a girl.
That's right.
And the girls thought she was a guy. And then we were all very confused. There was some good
the most desirable person in the room. Oh, boy. Well, anyways, speaking of strangeness service... things that are odd. We have this bottle of wine here. It's called Red Cannot. It's a 2005 Shiraz, and it has the most bizarre plug. I wouldn't even call it a cork. It's like a rubber plug thing. It's weird.
It has like this little pull-off thing like you see on, I don't know, ham cans or something, you know.
Listen to this.
It sounded like I was talking.
Well, it's me twisting it, but it's like a little rubber plug. It's not a screw cap, but it's I think the moral equivalent of the marriage of a screw cap and a cork.
Cork, yeah, and it's got like it's like plasticky, and it's got like on different kinds of bottles. It's got the little thing you can twist to begin the uncorking.
Almost like
process.
A milk bottle,
yeah. And then that gives you access to the bizarre thumbtack-looking top. And
it's like a child's toy.
What year is this?
2005.
Shiraz. Man, California, is it?
No. McLaren Vale, Australia.
Oh, it's an Aussie Shiraz.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So what do we got? We got a tune.
Tune Edge.
We've got a little something. Oh, yeah. You want to play it?
Yep.
Let's check it out. Thank you.
Who was that?
That was one of my favorite composers, Dusan Bogdanovich.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Liberace.
No, no. And that was a song called Mysterious Habitats from his CD, which is ironically called Mysterious Habitats.
And so odd.
Not pod safe.
Just, it's not pod safe.
Nope. Just, you know what? At the end of the day, it occurred to me that most of the music we play on here is not pod safe. I would say an overwhelming majority of the tunes we've played, we got permission from the different artists to play, including Mr. Bogdanovich, who I emailed personally once I tracked him down, once I stalked him on the web and was able to locate him.
Once he threw the CD at you to get away. Please, stop.
No, he was actually, I first heard a track from the CD, which we already played, a thing called Allegro Molto. I first heard him on those little musical interludes between All Things Considered segments.
Oh, I see.
And then they put up a website because everybody was asking. All Music Considered or something mm-hmm. like that. And so you could go find out what it was. And I went and found out what it was. And
get the address.
I bought the CD.
Look into his window as he's changing.
I bought the CD immediately from a store that's not even in existence now. A store called The Wall.
Ah.
They used to give you these stickers, Lifetime Music Guarantee.
And well, because that does you no good whatsoever.
Right, not anymore. You used to pay such exorbitant fees from that store to pay for CDs. They were, you know, not a discounter at all. But the advantage was they would replace it if it ever broke or something, you know? So
does the last unicorn still exist?
No, they just closed.
Did they?
Yeah. He put up a how much is it worth eBay store.
Ah.
Yeah, Mark Smith. I used to work for him, actually, many years ago.
The last unicorn.
Yeah, he is now doing an eBay store, kind of like I'll sell your stuff on eBay. Wasn't that from the 40-Year-Old Virgin? Remember the girl?
That's exactly right. And I think, you know, what's funny about that is I think that there was the kid who showed up and was buying those glittery boots. Now he's the star of that that new movie, Superbad.
Well, they've put out two since 40-Year-Old Virgin. Superbad's the latest one, but like 6 months ago, they had another one they put out. And they've all been rated very well.
What was the one they put out after that?
I don't recall.
Super good?
It might have been, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go see Superbad. I've got to go see that. Any one of those awkward teen high school type movies. I don't know. Strikes a chord with me.
Wonder why.
I don't know, because, you know, I have sympathy for those guys.
So I was thinking, you know, we've talked about the whole Michael Vick 20 and Pac-Man Jones scenario, the dog guys and all that.
Yeah. That was my Pac-Man impersonation.
Yeah, I got that too. So that was actually pretty decent. And I've been thinking about a lot of things lately, and I've been meaning to kind of put this, we've talked around this topic, as you put it in an email to me, but we haven't really addressed it lately. And it's, I want to attack it from two angles. You know, I've called this segment, Are We the Roman Empire?
Yes.
Okay.
Next question.
Done. Yeah. And the reason I say that is because the forms of entertainment that Americans are enjoying now are bloodier and more violent, right?
It's escalating.
It used to be years ago, we had boxing and pro wrestling, one of which was fake. Well, and at times, I'm sure both were fake, but I'm sure both were preordained.
Both were preordained, but one of them, people weren't getting as hurt.
That's right. And so boxing, you know, was kind of violent, but they had gloves, and if there was blood, the ref would stop it. And, you know, if a guy was, you know, a little wobbly on his feet too much, he could call it. There was a million different ways that, you know, a boxing match could end, you know, KO, TKO, the ref can call it, you know, blah, blah, right. Throw in the towel. But now we've got these new, what do they call it, mixed martial arts things.
Yeah, mixed martial arts is what they're calling it.
And there's
it.
Several leagues now, but what's the big one on
Ultimate Fighting Champion or something
like that.
Spike
TV's got one. And they're in sort of this octagonal ring with
right.
a fence instead of having ropes.
Well, it's kind of like Bloodsport from the old 80s movie where there was like this underground fighting thing where people would go into this ring and the purpose was to beat the guy up using in bare hands, whatever you've got.
Well, and that's what I've written down today. I wrote Bloodsport because I've seen a few of these things, and I work with some guys who are really addicted to this. They get the pay-per-view dealies when they come on, but you know, every once in a while they'll show a pretty hardcore match on Spike TV, and it might be on in our break room at work. And these guys draw hardcore blood.
Yep.
And they don't stop the matches, and that's fine. That's their choice. If they're willing to expose themselves to somebody else's blood in this day and age, that's their choice, right? That's fine. They're adults, they can make that choice. But my point is that they don't really have the big thicker boxing gloves on. They've got sort of like almost like a cycling glove. It's just this little leather thing on their hand.
I don't even think they're required to do that. I think that's just for their own style. They can go in barefisted if they wanted to.
Yeah, and I mean, and it, this stuff is really dangerous, and these guys are really beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah, they'll when a guy is down, it's not like they count. When the guy is down, the other guy jumps on top of him and starts pummeling him until the other guy gives up.
Yeah, and that's called a tap out or something. Yeah. That's a submission or something, as I used to call it in pro wrestling. But I mean, you know, routinely guys are getting broken bones and they're taking just brutal beatings in the, you know, and this of course just brings me to the Colosseum, the Roman Colosseum. You know, after the Republic of Rome fell, Rome was run by the emperors, and those guys, you know, eventually built the Colosseum, and they did all this blood sport stuff with these gladiators. And I mean,
keep the masses distracted. Kind of thing.
And we're really only, you know, one or two steps away from that at this point. I mean, 20 years ago, if somebody came to me and said, you know, you're going to see this, basically this bare knuckle brawling, you know, I mean, one thing that's amusing about bare knuckle brawling to me is those old 1880 photos that the guys have their knuckles up, you know.
Right. They're wearing, they're wearing leg stockings, and they're preparing for fisticuffs.
Yeah, exactly. They're preparing for fisticuffs. And I love old photographs, and those photographs make me laugh. But, I mean, these guys are really, you know, this is just a street brawl, you know. And, again, it's how far away from the Colosseum are we, you know?
Well, when you brought this topic up to me, the first thing I thought was sports, because sports, to me, is the evidence of this. Sure, we've got, in our own society, we've got a lot of violence going on. There's a lot of murders. The United States has quite a few murders. We seem to like watching the violent television shows. But to me, sports is like that universal thing. And in the United States, what are the most popular sports these days? Well, baseball is declining in popularity. Why?
Baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet.
And Gouda cheese pizza. So baseball,
quattro formaggio.
Baseball is declining in popularity. What else is declining in popularity? The NBA is actually declining in popularity. What's increasing in popularity every day? The NFL, which is increasingly violent, and it's a violent game to begin with, but it's increasingly violent. What else? The Ultimate Fighting Championship.
That's growing like a weed right now.
Yeah. Pro wrestling, because, you know, if you can't get the real thing, you might as well get the watered-down, sugared, you know, what do they call it? The dramatized version of the real violence.
And pro wrestling, I mean, what do we got going on there? We've got all these guys, you know, probably roiding their ass off.
Oh, right.
Killing their families, for crying out loud.
Yeah, and they're supposed to be examples, and you would probably ask them, and they pull a Charles Barkley on you and say, I'm not a role model, but the reality is, you've got 10 and 12-year-old kids wearing their T-shirts and lunchboxes to school.
In spirit, though, I agree with what Charles Barkley meant by that. You know, that was taken out of context. What he should have said was, I should not be a role model. Teachers and parents and firemen and astronauts should be role models. That's really where he was going with that. He just didn't speak as eloquently as he could have.
Right. He should have said, yes, I should not be, but unfortunately, I am.
Unfortunately, they are. That's right.
Right. And then the only thing that's sort of boggling my mind as to why it isn't becoming more popular is hockey. Hockey is like on its deathbed, and that can be pretty violent.
I went to a fight the other day, and a hockey game broke out.
Right, exactly.
And that's, so, you know, that's, yeah, there's a little bit of violence in hockey.
Yeah, maybe it's because there's not enough prolonged violence is why it's not as popular. You know, soccer's not popular in the United States. Why? Because not enough blood, not enough contact.
Yeah,
I don't know. Not enough scoring.
Have you seen the series of commercials that ESPN is doing for MLS, you know, where they'll show a beautiful pass in a hockey game or a basketball game, a nice dish, and then the guy dunks it. You know, and they'll say something like, good pass. And then they'll show an MLS game where a guy makes a brilliant pass and a guy heads it in or something. And they'll go, good pass. Basically, it's like, why aren't you watching soccer?
Exactly.
It's got all the elements of the other game.
Except games. For, you know, I don't know. If you look at a game that is declining, like the NBA, and for some reason I don't understand why that's declining, because it has a lot of action in it. But you look at the NBA and...
Well, there's just too many refs betting on the game now.
Well, there's that. But if you look at the NBA...
I always wondered why Pete Rose became such a big basketball fan. I guess.
You look in the 70s and 60s, you see old footage of these guys. No one is slam dunking. There's not a lot of contact in the game.
Dr. J was dunking. Come on now.
In the late 60s?
Well, not I thought a lot you said the 70s.
I said 60s and 70s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was like the beginning of it. It wasn't like a dunk on every other play. But if you look at these guys, they're not having a lot of contact when they're going, you know, end to end to the opposing team's court. They're not blasting each other. They're not elbowing. They're not running into each other. It's not like the big guy is the one to watch out for. It's more of a game of a strategy, blocking, passing. Now it is becoming a contact sport. Definitely. It's
in every sport has all of that ridiculous trash talking in it now, and all of the.
Well, I think that's been around for a long time.
No, it has, but now it's escalating. You know, the word that I used.
Your mama wears army boots.
Yeah, the word "get off my mom." I just got off yours. You know, whatever. No, that's these dumb lines. But the word I used in the email to you was alarming, this alarming trend towards more America's need, apparently, for more violent entertainment. And I also kind of wanted to hit on the whole Michael Vick thing, right? We've got Michael Vick running this dogfighting ring.
Oh, by the way, it's no longer allegations. He pled guilty.
Yeah, he's going to get a year.
He pled guilty. He admitted to actually taking part in the killing of dogs, mm-hmm. and the deal that he brokered was, he said, I didn't bet on anything, though. I only was taking part, I was funding the entire operation, I provided the entire venue, I killed some dogs, but I didn't bet on anything. Now, why is that? Because gambling is explicitly written in the NFL conduct contract, which can get you banned from the game. You know what Roger Goodell did, the commissioner of the NFL? He said, yeah, that's nice, but you funded an entire gambling operation. You're done. You're banned from the NFL.
That's what he needs to be. You know, and he's probably going to get a year. I'd really like to see him get two. John and I both sit here, I think it's fair to say, as animal lovers, but I'm going to say some things right now about this that I think are going to shock some people. And I'm not condoning dogfighting. I'm only talking in the abstract. And, you know, dogs fight one another on the street every day. How is the actual act of a regulated dogfighting match any different than anything else? And I mean, from a violence perspective, for example, two dogs fighting each other, I mean, in the abstract, for me, that's no big deal, because as a vegetarian, I've seen all of these documentaries recently, you know, about our food source. I've talked about those recently. And, you know, when they kill a cow, which is going to ultimately be consumed, they take this hydraulic spike and then they bash it on the cow's forehead, and this spike just basically brains them. You know, so to me, that's more violent than the dog fighting. You know, I mean, do you see what I'm trying to say? I'm not defending dog fighting here, but I mean, you know, people live in denial about the violence of being a meat eater, for example. You know, they don't want to think about what goes on in the slaughterhouse, but yet they're appalled by this dog fighting. You know, and for me, there's very little difference between the dog fighting and someone who's eating a burger, because 2 months ago, that was a living, breathing animal, and it got brained, you know, it got its head bashed in by this spike. So how is that different than what Michael Vick did to the poorly performing dogs?
Well, to me, that's one of the reasons why I don't eat meat. It's not a political thing. It's not a thing where I'm necessarily fighting for animal rights in an active way. It's just, to me, I look at a piece of meat, and I think about how it got to that plate. And it really bothers me.
The transportation
that, you know, cross county lines, that whole thing bothers me. Interstate commerce is an issue with me.
And I'm not here to alienate meat eaters, although I am here to piss off meat eaters, because that's what I wrote down on my paper for notes for this. But I mean, really, in the abstract, you know, there's no difference between what Michael Vick was doing and the way the meat industry, you know, kills.
I think there was. I think that there's a big difference, and I think there's a reason why it's a little bit more heinous. And for me, it's the same exact reason why I think that something like sport fishing and sport hunting, where you're just going out for the trophy, it's the same thing. Dog fighting, if a dog is in nature or fighting another dog, it's for a reason. It's the reason is maybe territory, something like that. And it's a natural activity. They've got their reasons. But for us to take those dogs, egg them on, And in fact, they're probably doing something to the dogs with chemicals to make them more aggressive.
Right, right.
And they're breeding them to make them more aggressive.
I'm not arguing it from what they're doing to the dogs to make them more aggressive, or, you know, Michael Vick's whole deal with drowning them. And I'm not even talking about that, but I'm just talking about dog fighting in the abstract, you know?
Well, to me, it's like if someone goes out and hunts and kills a deer, I think that that's despicable, except the only reason why I'd say that someone could get away with that is if they use the animal, they eat the meat, they sustain their families with that. To me, that's a natural activity.
Right. People have been hunting for,
right,
you know, tens of thousands of years.
The guy who goes out and hunts and puts the deer on his wall and then gets rid of the rest of it.
Sport hunting.
Yeah.
Which, of course, it's not a sport till the, you know, maybe if you were hunting a grizzly bear, it's a sport because the grizzly bear has a really good chance of getting you, but a deer has no chance of getting you.
If you're hunting a grizzly bear with a knife.
Yeah, yeah, that's a little more sport-like, you know. Bow hunting is even a little bit more fair because it's, you know, it's...
And you better eat that grizzly bear when you're done with the knife.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, your point is well taken. I recognize that this isn't necessarily a natural act, but at the end of the day, you end up with a dead animal. So right. From that perspective, they're identical, you know? So why is everybody's upset that Rover got killed, but nobody's upset that Mr. and Mrs. Cow or Bull or Cow or whatever get killed for that Wendy's burger they're eating, you know?
Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying, and it's...
And it's a purely abstract. That's all it is. This is a purely emotionless, logical argument, you know?
Maybe if I put it this way, the way I look at it, and I get the sense that you do as well, is that there are two levels of animal death. One is one for no reason, one is for another reason, and both of them, I think you and I find a bit disgusting and not necessary.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that most of the eat-meeting society looks at...
The meat-eating or eat-meeting?
The eat-meeting. The meat-eating society, they look at... There's only one level of animal violence that's unacceptable, and it's the sport part when it's illegal.
Well, I don't even think it's illegal. I think it's the Rover angle, you know, that we all love dogs and we've right. had dogs and... You know,
true because people will, you know, even if someone serves dog in like a Korean restaurant, they'll say that's disgusting. Yet, in fact, you know, if someone's got that in their society and if they got that in their culture,
and it's pretty tasty.
Tastes like chicken.
You know, I mean, even greyhound racing, those animals are treated so badly, which is why they have all these rescue groups, you know, that rescue these dogs from. And the greyhound is probably my favorite dog. I love them.
And if you've ever hung
out
with a greyhound, you realize they're the most gentle dog you can be next to.
They're amazing. And their fur is almost soft like cat hair, you know. They're just remarkable animals. And they're great athletes. They're so
fast. They've got these weird contrasts where they're very still. They don't move a whole lot. You throw a ball and they're off like a shot.
Yeah, they're so fast.
They don't have anything in between on and off.
So to tie this into the blood sport thing, you know, so we've got these people who apparently feel this need to witness this kind of dog fighting, which is a kind of blood sport, and we've got these people who want to watch Randy Couture in the squared circle or whatever they're calling the metal octagon or whatever,
octagon of doom,
yeah, whatever they're calling these rings. So what's next? I mean, are we going to build a giant, you know, slightly it's not round, but it's what's the word for an oval?
Ellipse.
Yeah, because the Colosseum was actually an ellipse. It wasn't actually round. Are we going to build a giant, somewhat elliptical building out of travertine? Because it was not built out of marble. It was mostly built out of travertine, which is a stone I had never even heard of before I started doing research on the Colosseum. I was like, what the hell's travertine?
Well, you know what we should do? And this might sound far-fetched. What we should do is take our criminals and have them run through the city, and we'll televise it. And if the guy can escape, then he's freed.
Who's chasing them?
Richard Dawson.
That's what they said.
Don't you remember this? The whole concept behind Running Man is that society got so violent that one thing had to lead to another thing. You know, we had to appease people's their desire for more and more violence, so it ended up where humans became the targets.
Yeah, I haven't seen that film in a while. We did mention it briefly.
Again,
that's
another,
one of my favorite Schwarzenegger films, actually.
I think that was another Philip K. Dick story.
Yeah, and as I mentioned on that show where we briefly hit on that, it might have been our film Fest show. I just love the fact that Richard Dawson was the game show host. He's right. Great. Former Hogan's Hero, Newkirk from Hogan's Heroes.
But it's probably going to lead to that. I mean, the things that we found far-fetched and comical and farcical in those movies, they're coming true, and it's scary.
And it's something that Chomsky calls diversionary media, you know? Anything that can be done to take the voters' minds off of the ills and the evil things that their politicians are doing is a good thing, and it's going to be encouraged, you know? So anything that we can do, you know, to keep the voters from knowing just how evil of a bastard George Bush really is, will be encouraged, you know?
Well, look at the way that the whole political process in this country is run. We don't talk about issues anymore. We talk about who's making a swipe on the other guy and who got the better jab in. It's completely a game, and it's becoming violent in terms of, you know, trying to bash the other person. It has nothing to do with who's the better politician, who's the better leader.
And it's alarming, just like it is in the other venue, sure. In the other arena. It's alarming. You know, we've become a nation of sound bites and
haters.
You know, salaciousness, you know, we're not really into substance and quality and things like that. And it's disturbing. It's a very alarming trend. And
yeah, well, I had a brief conversation with a colleague this past week where I was saying the same thing. I was saying how upset I am at why is it that in the political ticker, I get an RSS news feed that tells me about the latest things going on in the campaign trail. Why is it that the political ticker has to make a comment about Barack Obama makes an appearance somewhere playing basketball? Who cares? Who cares that he's out there playing basketball? I mean, what's the point of that? And this person said, why are you getting so upset? It's as if you don't realize that the political process has nothing to do with the best leader. And that's why I'm upset.
Yeah, I agree. And there you go.
I need to take a nap.
Bloodsport. Barack Obama playing basketball.
I'm going to go rent Bloodsport. Who was in that? Jean-Claude Van Damme?
It probably was. So you want to play another tune?
All right.
We got some more tunage. Let's check it out. Thank you. He totally rocked it. That was Dustin Jones. We played him before. What was this song called?
War Pigs.
Generals gathered in their masses. Dunno.
We should get like a classical guitarist to cover that.
That was called Tico Tico, which was a tune not of his composition. It was composed by Zaquina de Abreu, not related to Bobby Abreu. Or maybe related. I suppose anybody with the name Abreu was related as far, it depends on how far back you want to go.
I don't know. Maybe it's the same guy, even.
Bobby Abreu is, I think.
You don't know. He might be immortal.
Zaquina de Abreu is probably dead by now, but then again, so is Abreu.
The team is hurting.
So I saw a movie called Once, O-N-C-E, at the MWPA.org. And if you're Spanish and you're saying the number 11, of course, it would be Once, which was also a cycling team of a few years ago. This movie was perfect. There was nothing wrong about this movie. It was, you know, if you love films, this is like every film goer's fantasy, especially one who enjoys music.
Was Brad Pitt in it?
No, and that's part of why it was perfect. This is a film that takes place in negative. This is a film that takes place
in a galaxy long, long
Dublin,
time ago.
Dublin, oh. Ireland.
Oh, and it's already starting good.
It's about a relationship between two people, both of whom are musicians. We see this actor named Glenn Hansard. He's not really an actor. He's actually a musician of some success in Ireland. And neither of the lead players in this film are professional actors, but they are musicians. And
cool.
Glenn Hansard is playing on the street at night, and this lovely young woman walks up to him and just starts enjoying the music. And when he's done, it's nighttime, right? So she asks, why do you play at night, not during the day? Because apparently she's been observing him and noticed that his playing habits are to play at night, not during the day. And he said something like, you know, during the day, people want me to play Beatles tunes or something. You know, they want to play, they want to hear familiar music, not original music. And she became a fan of his. She really loved his music and would come see him every once in a while. And she was very open, so she would begin asking him all these questions about himself. You know, she would listen to the words and go, who's that song about? Oh, why did you guys break up? You know, because people tend to write about, you know, things like relationships and stuff like that. And it got to one point in the film that was actually very early in the film that was actually very funny, where she had said something like, well, why don't you work in a shop during the day? And he goes, well, I do work in a shop during the day. I repair Hoovers. He's a vacuum cleaner repairman.
That sucks.
And she, yeah. And so she, there's another knee slapper right there. Oh, ba-dum-bum. So she says, well, I just happen to have a broken vacuum cleaner. So next day she shows up with a Hoover in tow, which is really funny. And this film is a kind of musical. I mean, it's not Singing in the Rain, or it's not, you know, it's not that kind of musical. But because these people are both musicians, their relationship develops through the music that they write together and sing together. And this guy, yes, the music is a little poppy, but it's amazing. This guy Glenn Hansard, and the woman is played by a Czech woman named Markéta Irglova, and she's a wonderful pianist and singer as well. And they sort of start developing their relationship and writing songs together, and that's how the movie evolves. They write songs and they develop the relationship to a point where it can either go to the next level or it can't, and I won't tell you which way it goes. But all throughout the film, there's this really amazing music. And as a lover of music, even though the music had a bit of a poppy sort of edge to it, it was, this guy's the real deal. He can really write really good music.
So what did he play? What instrument?
He's a guitarist. And she's a pianist. And there's this one amazing scene early on in the film where she talks about how she can't afford a piano, but there's a local music store where she goes and they let her play for an hour a day to keep her chops up. She also talks about how her dad was a professional violinist in Czechoslovakia when she was a kid and stuff like that. And that's like the first tune in the movie where they do something together, and it's just amazing. I mean, it's just such a strong piece of music. He even writes an odd time signatures. He has a song in five, which is
really,
really kind of cool. And this guy, you know how Peter Gabriel has that certain something in his voice that Phil Collins doesn't have, a little bit of rasp, character, whatever you want to call it. And for me, this guy, Glenn Hansard, has the best male voice I've heard since like Cat Stevens or something like that. Just that tons of character in his voice, great range. He writes great melodies and great songs. And I mean, if you love music on any level at all, you're going to be blown away by this film. I mean, this was just an off the radar independent film that a couple of notable reviewers reviewed, and it started gaining momentum. I mean, this film was made for like $200,000 or something.
Wow.
in this day and age, but I sat there and was just blown away. I said, wow, when the film ended. In fact, I went online and bought the soundtrack last night.
2 out of 4 stars?
This and The Lives of Others, that German film, are without question the most amazing films I've seen in the calendar year, the 2007th year of our Lord.
I think the Stasi officer actor died this year.
He did, actually. I forget his name, Werner Hauptmann or something. I don't remember his name. But yeah, once, this movie was amazing. It's a 2006 film. Is it? Oh, that's what it says. I didn't realize it came out in 2006. Directed by John Carney. It's an Irish film, and it is rated R for strong language because, you know, those Irish people occasionally bust out with things like, for fuck's sake.
Fucker!
Yeah, exactly. And it's really funny. But again, if you love music, and I have a fairly intimate connection with music, as does John, you're going to be just blown away by this film. You're going to be mesmerized. Just two great performances, and it's incredible. I mean, it's magical. This film is magic on celluloid. It's incredible. Anyway.
So you liked it?
I love this film. I cannot give this enough fingers up.
Well, I'm not going to do a review, but I also want to mention that I did catch one of the films that Rich saw, Cachet. French film.
Oh, right.
I think it was 2005, 2006. Mm-hmm. One of those weird, very, very odd films. Yeah.
And brutal at
times. There were some brutal things going on, but I think it's definitely worth watching.
Yeah. I thought Cachet was a nice piece of work. It's sinister and there's a mystery in there.
There's definitely a mystery. But the thing that I also found out about this movie is that as I'm watching and I'm realizing, I'm seeing these scenes which look kind of natural, like people interacting in a natural way, but everything was so meticulously put together. Every scene, there's something in it.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely go rent that film if you can.
It's almost like a Hitchcock thing.
It is. It is.
He's definitely got some Hitchcockian influences in there.
You were just waiting to pull that word out, weren't you?
I love the word Hitchcockian. Cockian in general.
We're going to get like an R rating on this show.
It doesn't matter.
Fucker.
For fuck's sake.
All right. It's out of our system.
All right. Anyway, I think that's a show.
I don't know. Do you think it is?
I think it is.
Oh. Oh,
well, at this point, we have no say in the matter. It's a runaway train. What's done is done.
The circle is complete.
And now I am the master. Anyway, check us out on the web, www.bloodyveg.com. And my name is Rich Wilgus.
Oh, it is. Sometimes. Oh, and I'm John. That's
on,
right.
On Tuesdays.
John Tellerico here. Check out the forum, bloodyveg.com/forum.
And check out the Coliseum and the forum, actually, because they're both.
Right. Funny thing happened on the way to the forum.
That's right. And you can leave us feedback to feedback@bloodyveg.com. And we may or may not answer you because most of the email that comes to that address is spam-ola.
Yeah, and it's filtered heavily.
That's right. Anyway, remember, you've been listening to The Vib, and we'll see you next week.